Hello, this is Sean Kennedy. I'm the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm really pleased to be speaking today with Erica Vuko. Erica is an advanced practice registered nurse in the Division of Genetics, Birth Defects, and Metabolism at the Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago. And she's the author of one of the CE features in the June issue, and the title of it is Understanding the Nurse's Role in Managing Gaucher Disease. I think I said it right this time, Erica, did I?
yes, you did.
So, Erica, before we get into a little bit about the article, can you talk a little bit about the work you do?
Yes, absolutely. So, in our division, one of my roles is the management and follow-up care for individuals who suffer from inborn errors of metabolism. So one of the main things that the nurse practitioners are doing in our division is the evaluation of infants who have abnormal newborn screen results for the different metabolic disorders that are on the newborn screen. And in turn, when those infants are diagnosed, we then take over in times, of course, collaboration with our geneticists, but we do function independently in our division in managing several of those conditions, and as well as, you know, taking over the follow-up care of patients who have been followed for years within our division. Mm-hmm. Another aspect of our job is enzyme replacement therapy. So we follow several different lysosomal storage disorder groups, and the treatment for many of these conditions is enzyme replacement therapy. So individuals will come and they will come to our infusion center, or they can receive their infusions actually in the home or at local infusion center sites. But we manage the ordering of the infusions and infusion reactions and so forth. And I also participate a lot in the research. So we have a big research side to our division, and I am a sub-investigator for all the genetics clinical trials.
Wow. And so what are some of the other types of genetic disorders that you see at the clinic there?
That's a great question. So as I mentioned, we follow the inborn errors of metabolism. Mm-hmm. So we see, you know, phenylketonuria, maple syrup urine disease, a lot of the fatty acid oxidation disorders. We see Gaucher disease, Pompe, Fabry, mucopolysaccharidoses. And then there's also a clinical genetics or general genetics side to our division that I am not heavily involved in, but they follow 22q, Marfan, and some other different genetic syndromes.
Wow. I haven't heard of some of those.
A lot of these conditions and the care that we provide are, you know, definitely fall under rare disease.
Mm-hmm. And so do you get people who really come from different parts of the country and then perhaps come for diagnosis and initial treatment and then go back to their own primary care folks for follow-up, or do they maintain, do you have like a registry that keeps following people throughout their life?
Yeah, we definitely get patients from all over. We do have an international program at our institution that will bring in individuals, you know, from other parts of the world that come in looking for guidance and help trying to determine what the diagnosis is for their child and the condition that they have. And we absolutely have patients that will fly in on an annual basis to be followed, you know, by our geneticist, and, you know, we assist in those patients and their care. You know, of course, they have someone locally that is identified to kind of manage things as they come up in that interim. But, you know, we are lucky enough to have geneticists that have, you know, definitely have a wealth of experience and are known as experts in certain areas within the field that, you know, definitely draws in patients to come in from all over to get their eyes to look at, you know, what's going on in their particular case.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was in reviewing the article, and thank you again for doing this article for AJN. And while many nurses may not see this particular disease among their patients that they see in their day-to-day practice, we know that people always ask nurses questions regardless of what they do or where they are, whether it's neighbors
right.
or family. And I think to just have a kind of a broad knowledge of what this disease is as part of many other diseases in this category and what some of the issues are in some of these folks trying to get a diagnosis. Now, do most of the people you see with Gaucher disease, they're diagnosed as newborns, or do some of them slip through and it takes a while?
Actually, it's quite the opposite. Very rarely are individuals with Gaucher disease diagnosed as newborns, and that's for several reasons. And first and foremost, it's a progressive condition. So there's three different types of Gaucher disease, but even in the most severe type of Gaucher disease, you typically do not expect to see symptoms at birth or onset shortly after birth. So that is one of the reasons that it's typically not diagnosed very early in life, is just simply because the symptoms mm-hmm. may not be presenting yet. The second piece to that is, and one of the things that I referenced in the article, is the fact about newborn screening. Now, in our state in Illinois, Gaucher has been added to the newborn screen, and we are actively screening newborns for Gaucher. So this will change the course mm-hmm. of the disease for patients, at least within our state. So we will be identifying them as newborns, but that has not been adopted across the country, so that is not common practice. And so typically what happens is that these individuals often go through what we like to refer to as a diagnostic odyssey. And because Gaucher disease is a rare disease, and because the symptoms that patients often present with are common symptoms that you see for a variety of different conditions, it really makes the diagnosis of Gaucher a challenge, and unfortunately, it is not uncommon for our patients to undergo years of not having the appropriate diagnosis, or, in the worst cases, undergoing, invasive interventions to try and come to a conclusion, that it's actually, in fact, Gaucher mm-hmm. disease.
What age do you usually see, presenting? I mean, are they getting into adulthood, or is it more likely childhood, school-age children, or?
I would say about half of the patients with type 1 will present at some point in childhood. That can be, all different presentations as well. So you could have a child that is actively heavily bleeding after a dental procedure. And so they, start doing investigations as to what's going on. They find the low platelet count and so forth. And eventually, mm-hmm. You get to Gaucher. You could have a child present in bone crisis, where they end up hospitalized, receiving, IV pain medication to get to the ultimate diagnosis of Gaucher. But we absolutely have adults. There's it's definitely a spectrum, and you can have very, very mild disease. And so we've had adults referred to our practice simply because they had carrier screening as they were undergoing family planning, and they were actually picked up to be affected through the carrier screening. So these are asymptomatic individuals that have made it into adulthood, which, when you talk to them and we assess them at that initial visit, sure, maybe they had a little bit of easy bruising or some nosebleeds in childhood, but nothing that would have, driven them to seek medical attention to find out what would be going on. So really relatively asymptomatic. And you can actually, in these adults that we have followed, because even if someone's asymptomatic, we absolutely follow them on an annual basis because, again, it's a progressive condition. Mm-hmm. And the fact that someone's asymptomatic can change over time. But what we have seen is we absolutely have adults in their 40s, 50s, 60s,
wow.
not on treatment, who, are relatively asymptomatic or whose symptoms are not impeding their quality of life.
That's amazing. I didn't realize it went that far because I knew that they were doing newborn screening, but didn't realize it was so limited. I think there were you in the article it mentions four states, and that other in other areas. But
right,
it seems to me that since there is a disease available, why wouldn't states add this, automatically to save people from going through life, with this type of disease that, you know, certainly ultimately affects their quality of life and could be doing so from the time they're children all the way through.
Right, absolutely. And that's where it comes down to advocacy groups, you know, and at the legislator level, trying to advocate and lobby to get these conditions added to their state screen.
And in terms of what nurses should know about this, what? Yes, it's a genetic disease. It's a recessive disease, so that means two carrier parents, correct?
Correct. Both parents would need to be carriers in order to have a child affected. Correct.
So what do you think? What's the one thing you would, one or two things I should say? I won't limit you to one that you'd like nurses who read this article. What would you like them to take away from this?
The first point is, I think, an understanding of the pathophysiology. I think that, as nurses, I was at the bedside for several years, and we're very task-oriented and focused on doing what we need to get done. And I think it's really important to always take the opportunity and the time to stop and ask yourself why. So for our nurses that are infusing our patients, across the country with this disease, understanding why are we giving this enzyme replacement therapy? What is this doing for that patient? And for the patients, nurses in primary care and different infusion centers, just to be aware of that pathophysiology of why this condition occurs and the symptoms that it can present with. And the second piece that's really important is understanding, the journey that these patients go through and what it's like to live with a rare disease. And I mentioned a couple aspects of that in the article, and the fact that so often these families end up needing to be the experts of their child's care or their own health care because of the limited knowledge of health care providers about Gaucher disease. And I really call on nurses because I think there's no better advocate in the healthcare system than nurses, especially with that bedside relationship, that infusion relationship. You have a really unique opportunity to create a strong relationship with a patient and their family, and that relationship in turn really opens up a door of communication that really gives the nurse the ability to advocate for that patient, to find out areas that maybe the healthcare team is missing, needs that have been unmet. It's a really emotional journey for these patients as well. And so I just, bringing that to light and reinforcing that kind of natural thought process and care belief that nurses have.
Well, thank you so much, Erica, for taking the time to speak and provide a little bit more background context for the article. I do hope people listening to this podcast will look in the June issue, either in print or online or on the iPad, and read the article about Gaucher disease, learn about it, and also the tremendous effect that it has on patients, especially having to deal with this throughout life without knowing why they were feeling so badly, perhaps for most of their lives, and finally getting a diagnosis and now having treatment, and I guess also now worrying that they may have passed it on to children because they probably didn't have screening.
Right.
So a lot of issues here. So thank you once again for this fabulous article.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.